Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be jawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal Radio.
Happy holidays, Jock Stars. Here we are on a Tuesday doing the part two of our week 14 recap. And oh my gosh, my kid is finally out of school. This holiday vacations have begun. People are out and about and the roads are crazy. People are complete jerks. Everybody's stressed out to the max. But before we begin, I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk. So guys,
wait, your kid just got out today of first Christmas break?
Yeah, get this too.
Who lets their kid out on a Tuesday? What is wrong with the schools there?
Well, you know, they got all these weird breaks. They actually start all the way on like August 1st, actually, believe it or not. And they their school year goes to like May 28th. So it's like a really, really long school year comparatively, and they have like mid-fall break. Two spring breaks. It's a very different thing. It's almost like going to school all year round, but quite not.
God, that so sucks to be in school in 2015. I'm so grateful that I went to school when we started at a reasonable time and they let us out. We didn't have core testing. It was like, did you show up for school and you did a half-assed job? Okay, great. Have a great time. You're done.
I know. But my the teachers these days are so nice. Jory's teacher, Mrs. Bowles, she gave him two like hardback brand new books that were like from the Avengers and Monsters Inc. And they're like really nice, you know, books that you typically find for like $20 somewhere. I don't know. She probably got them at Walmart for like $5 a piece or something like that. But they're really, really nice looking books. And then with a bag and all the and like a Christmas ornament. I mean, the kid was just hooked up beyond belief, which is really cool. We're going to have to go get her like a gift card to like the Olive Garden or something to kind of return the favor. But I can't believe what's going on with holiday breaks. I can't believe all the stress. People are actually in the line to pick up their kids honking at each other because people are just stressed to the max. Let me ask you, how stressed are you now that you've been on the road for, 1,400 miles?
Yeah, so we are here. I'm broadcasting live from Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. And, not super stressed. It's hard. We have a 10, a 7-year-old, and a 2-year-old in the car, and they all did really good, to be honest. Most of the time, at the end of the day, you're just tired, you're hungry. And we haven't had time. We've been staying at different places, and we haven't really had time to get settled in. So that's a lot of it. Now that I'm sitting in a comfortable bed and okay, I feel much, much better, and my stress level is going down. You know, and anytime you're going on vacation, it's like we went out to dinner tonight to this pizza place right around the corner here, and it's like this resort town. The food wasn't great. The guy wasn't nice. You know, he was okay. He was a waiter in a small town on the off season. I don't know if I have to say any more than that, but and it was like $95 for dinner. So it
for
is
pizza.
What it is. Oh yeah. For pizza and pasta and some other stuff. And then, you know, the kids, half the time they don't even want what they order. And it's just by the end of the day, you're all tired and it's like, it's nice to be at home. But we've had a great time and we've had some good bonding moments and that's worth it. So the stress level is lowering again. And at the end of the day, you have to remember this. And I think this is not just important for us, but for everyone. Money is just a means to an end, right? It is just, who cares about it? It is just something that you'd use to get other things, to get memories or to pay for your place to live. It's just, I feel like we get so obsessed in saving money and having, because that's where our security lies, when in reality, my security is not in that. This is just a means to an end. And ever since I've had that attitude, things have been really good. So I won't get on a soapbox about it, but that I think is a real key to just going and having a good time and not worrying. And especially through the holidays too, right? It's not about how much we give or how much we get. It's just about trying to have a good time and brighten someone's day. So,
absolutely. No, that's a good take on it. And I refuse to be a slave to money, and I refuse to be a slave to the man, which is why I continue to remain self-employed almost any chance I get. But I have to ask you, was the pizza last night at, and for those who don't know, Matt actually stopped into Oklahoma City on his way up from Austin. We had dinner at this place called Gaddy Town, which is kind of like a, what would happen if like CC's Pizza and Chuck E. Cheese's were to get together and have a baby. The pizza was terrible, and there was lots of games and crazy rides and stuff like that. But was the pizza better there than it was at Gaddy Town? Because Gaddy Town pizza is terrible.
No, it wasn't much better. But here's the thing about Gaddy Town that kills me, and I said it that night. F those tickets. Those tickets are the bane of my existence. You take your kids to this place. We spend $60 on to try, you know, and then it's like you got these cards, and they're all playing these games. And as the kid gets older, it's like, you know what it is? It's a kid casino, and it's horrible, I just hate it because they get obsessed with these tickets. And what, you know, with the ticket, you play for 3 hours to win, you know, 500 tickets, and you buy something that I could go to the dollar store and buy something for $3 that's better than that. And it's just this obsession. And by the end of the night, I'm so bitter. I just won't go in there anymore to any places like that because I hate the whole ticket frenzy. Yes. And then you're tired and you've been there and they're trying to spend, what do I get with the tickets? And it's 30 minutes to what do you get with the goddamn tickets? By the end of that thing, I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I can't do these tickets anymore. I just can't do it. So, you know, it's good, but it just is a kid casino and they're so ruthless. I would much rather like go eat somewhere and have, you know, here's the difference of that. We went to my mother's house and we stayed in Kansas City, and outside of Kansas City, she has a farm, and those kids entertained themselves and had more fun going outside and throwing sticks around in the freezing cold weather out there on this huge property. And they went out there and they played with sticks for 2 hours and came in winded and tired. To me, money well spent. That is fantastic. And you can go out there and have more fun doing something like that than you can in one of those kid casinos, because it just makes, you know, it just feeds the kids what we all have to deal with. And as kids, they shouldn't have to experience it so young, you know.
They really shouldn't. You know, guys, just so you know, we'll be taking calls all night long, and we'll be taking your calls, 405-562-5463. But tonight, we're going to be playing Shock the Jock, just like we are every night, and now we need to talk about what we want to hear from you. We want to hear about the best place that you should go for a holiday vacation. I'm not talking about summer vacation. I'm talking about during Christmas. Travel during Christmas is already hellacious. People tend to hate it. And I would typically think the best place to go would be somewhere warm climate, like the Bahamas. But I want to hear what you have to say. So text 77948, type the word text, space, and then your message. And we want to know where you would be interested in spending your holidays if you're going to be out and about and on a holiday vacation somewhere else. So go ahead and give us a call. We'll go ahead and read those on the air. And the most shocking one has that opportunity to possibly receive the $50 gift card we're going to be giving out at the end of the month for your participation on Shock the Jock. So, Matt, we got to start talking about some football, so let's get to the news.
Let's do it.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
Okay, so the first one, we were talking about cold weather, and no place is colder than Soldier Field, but Kirk Cousins was able to come into good old Soldier Field and warm it up, as he actually was able to win a game on the road. I thought this was a great thing. Kirk Cousins was having so much difficulty on the road, and to pull off a game in Soldier Field in December, people are beginning to forget the name RG3.
No. No one's forgetting that name. I mean, I don't know about you. Good. I'm just not a huge Cousins fan, and I think you know that. Great. This guy beat the Bears on the road. Big deal. The Bears are 5-8. What do you expect? That's not like going out and beating a legitimate team. It's beating the Bears on the road. Not a huge feat. It just isn't, with especially how that Bears team is playing. Kirk Cousins isn't bad. Again, I'm always going to stand by this. He's a Matt Castle. Good for him. That's what I think he is, and that's what I think he'll always be. I'm glad they got a win.
I don't deny. I really don't. I mean, he's a Matt Castle or a John Kitna or a Brad Johnson type of quarterback. He's not that top tier sort of thing. And I completely concede that point. However, he's a serviceable guy who looks like he has the ability of possibly getting the Washington Redskins into the playoffs. And after 3 years of all the torment that the people of Washington, D.C. have had to deal with, what better gift to be given for this holiday season than possible playoff contention football?
I'd rather take a Philadelphia Eagles and a Giants loss, but neither one of those things happened. They're tied at 6-7, all of them still. So that's what I would have rather had for a gift.
Oh, I'm sure you would have. Well, you know, Cutler, is this, you know, he had good Cutler and bad Cutler both on the same day that day. Is this going to be a case of Jay Cutler probably did enough this year to receive the starting job come next year? Or does Chicago need to go ahead and say, screw this crap, we are done with the Cutler experiment, and begin looking at somebody in the draft? Because David Fales has not prospered and risen from that second-level position to go to the possibility of being a starter, which I thought he could have coming out of college. He looked good to me, but apparently he's not able to read defenses to save his life. But what do we got with Cutler?
I think you got the same thing. The team, yeah, I mean, it speaks for itself. The team's 5-8. And Cutler is so hard because he's just never seemed to be that quarterback that's going to put you over the edge. But you got to really appreciate his ability and his desire to throw it down. He'll get in there and throw it with the best of them. But he just, you know, what is it about him that gets me? Is it his whining? Is it that it seems like he throws temper tantrums on the field? He reminds me, here, a great analogy. He's exactly like Philip Rivers. Does that quarterback ever go into the Super Bowl? No. I don't. Well, unless they have an amazing defense, no, not going to happen.
Okay, a matchup between two quarterbacks that can't get anybody over the edge is San Diego versus KC. Let's take a few moments to talk about that. I know you're thinking KC has been great, but to only get 10 points against the San Diego Chargers at home in Arrowhead, this is not a playoff caliber team at this point.
None You're out of your playing. Mind. Not a playoff. Won. Hey, they are a playoff caliber team, and they're going to be in the playoffs. So I don't whether you want to call them a playoff caliber team or not. When you're playing in the pouring rain, terrible conditions against a division rival at home, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I don't care what the records are. And you can't say that. It's the same thing as the Rams come in, a terrible team, and play the Seattle Seahawks super hard every single year and have beat them most of the time when they come in and play them. So don't start saying that the Kansas City Chiefs aren't a playoff caliber team just because a division rival played them tough at home in crappy conditions. That doesn't make any sense at all. They made a couple really good stands. They played well. They did good rushing the ball, and they played good defense, and they held them to a field goal. I'll take that any day of the week, and a win is a win is a win. So next up, go Chiefs.
About 4 inches is the difference between that game being won and lost. Had Danny Woodhead been four
won and
inches
lost.
Long.
You mean tied. You mean it, well, tied.
Okay. But with Philip Rivers, the way that they were playing, it looked as if San Diego had the momentum on their side.
Yeah. KC, and then it didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
Because
it didn't.
Kansas City made a goal line stand and a couple really good plays. And then, of course, Rivers threw a temper tantrum after they got a delay of game penalty down there. Hey, that's what it takes to win. You got to win a tough game, and you got to win the close ones, and some teams are going to play you hard. You got to respect a team that comes in there and plays good, and you know, that defense that's playing just the same at a goal line stand as it is after they've let them come all the way down the field, good for them. they stuck in there and they did a good job and they took OW out of that game.
That place was lights out loud. I mean, it was ridiculously loud. But it's the thing that gets me is how the hell in a place that loud with a defense that's supposed to be as good as it is continued to give up fourth down conversion after fourth down conversions on a late drive by the San Diego Chargers, who only had 3 points throughout the entire game.
You try and hate on them all you like. They gave up 3 points in that entire game, and they're going to get into the playoffs, and you're going to have to shave your head because your team's going to lose before they are. So when you're bald and I'm not, then the money's going to be talking. That's it.
Well, at this point,
we say whatever you like.
We both
at this point, we do.
Yep. And the question is, at this point, if you shave your head, you have to stay up there in the middle of Wisconsin for a couple of weeks and freeze your frigid little head off while I hang out here in Oklahoma City with 60, 65-degree weather and enjoy the sun without the worry of
I have a brand new Kansas City Chiefs beanie that's going to keep my head warm if that were to happen. So I'm not worried about it.
It's, you know, this is actually some good stuff because the San Diego Chargers have, you know, played you tough, and you guys did win a played tough game. It's not necessarily, and I'll go ahead and say it, and I hate saying it because I'm giving the Chiefs some credit here, but it's not necessarily what the score is. It's winning the tough games when your backs are against the wall. And if Kansas City can do that and show that they can do that, then maybe they do have a chance. However, watching their offense go cold like it did against the San Diego Chargers puts up a lot of worry in my head that they don't have what it takes to play in these cold weather situations with the offense that's the West Coast. I know people are always saying, well, Brett Favre did it. Well, Alex Smith just isn't Brett Favre. And that's what concerns me at this point.
No, he's definitely not.
And look,
that doesn't concern me at all. Look, it wasn't cold weather conditions. They played in the rain a couple weeks ago, and they put, 35 or 40 points on the team in the rain. So that's not the concern. Look, the San Diego Chargers, it's no mystery. The San Diego Chargers played them really tough. It's a division rivalry. We've always had it. Phillip Rivers always plays us tough. He plays us tougher at home than he does when we're in San Diego. Phillip Rivers does because he likes that atmosphere. So I don't care what you say. We went in and won a tough game, and I'm not worried in the least about that team. They're riding that momentum, and they're just getting better. As they figure out ways to win in tough games like this, that just means that's another aspect to their game that they add to it, and I think it's great. And I think they're going to continue to win. You know, and it just goes to show you, look what happened to Denver.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, you're absolutely correct. The way Oakland played them was really tough. And we're going to be getting to the Oakland game after the break, and it's going to be a great way to dissect that because there is a lot to talk about with both of those teams. However, it might be time to begin the transition to Indianapolis versus Jacksonville. Okay. We've all kind of been waiting for this big Jacksonville coming out party. However, I was not ready for them to put up a 50 burger. I really wasn't. We knew that they had the explosive.
I don't know why. For some reason, I thought you said Indianapolis. Everyone's waiting for Indianapolis. I was like, what?
Oh no! Not until Andrew Luck gets back. Nobody's given them a whole lot of credit. But Jacksonville, we've all seen the explosiveness of that potential offense, and we've all seen Indianapolis. Kind of stutter at this point, but nobody was expecting Jacksonville to put up a 50 burger on good old Indianapolis at this point. Holy cow.
But that just goes to show you again, same thing, right? Divisional game. Who thinks divisional games are always more heated? Who thinks Jacksonville goes in there and puts 50 on Indianapolis with a pretty decent, I mean, they don't have the worst defense in the league. It's not the best, but, and Jacksonville has the weapons and good for them.
Yeah, no, Jacksonville does have the weapons. Hearns, Robinson, Yeldon. Hell, even little number 16, Denard Robinson, was able to get some nice carries and find good running lanes in those holes.
Good fantasy pickup if Yeldon can't play, by the way.
Bortles reminds me so much, watching him during this game, he reminds me so much of a young Ben Roethlisberger. I really think...
Oh, yeah.
that Jacksonville has. I mean, because he's got that strong arm.
That was a good pick. He's a big dude too. He's not a small guy.
No, he isn't. And he's even tempered. So he's not one of these type of guys you see sitting on a sideline throwing a helmet around or knocking over a Gatorade table.
He's not a Cutler or Philip Rivers.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a hothead. He's just that easygoing, mellow guy. And if he's anything like Ben Roethlisberger, he might have to spend a few million dollars getting himself out of some rape allegations. But he's great on the
low
field.
Blow.
Oh, I just got to do it.
You couldn't help that one.
Yeah, he's well. How many is it now for him? Three or four?
He's clear. Yeah, it doesn't look. It's got to be hard to be a starting quarterback and single and going through that. You know how many times he probably.
Are you really saying? Wait, stop a second. You actually just said it's got to be hard being a starting quarterback and single. Oh my God.
No, not hard like
that's
that.
That's like a vagina
like
buffet.
Do you
dude.
Know how many times? Yeah, exactly. You would never know if you're going to sleep with someone when you're on the road or out and about, if they're going to turn around and say, oh, just because of who you are, that it wasn't consensual. That's tough. That sucks.
And, well, I mean, that's what they
you
said.
You would need to just be
Kobe.
Celibate or get married already.
Yeah, get married. Why not? Ben Roethlisberger, just get married. Save yourself the time. Don't go out to the clubs. There's no sense in it. Yeah, and I never did understand why athletes. I understand the young thing, the want to be the man, make it rain at strip clubs. You know, I'm gonna pull up in my Maserati that's $280,000. You know,
I guess I should. Now that I think about it, sorry, that's a terrible excuse. I should never use that excuse. Rob Gronkowski puts everything that I just said to absolute shame. That guy never has an allegation about him. He goes out and parties with the best of them, but he handles himself accordingly. Did you read that thing where he doesn't have a Tinder account because he knew it would get out of control?
I know. He is the vagina magnet. He really is.
Yes. And no allegations, right? This guy has handled himself in whatever he does, obviously very, very good. And he has never made it. It doesn't seem like we've heard anything about him going out and doing that. It's always a good thing that he's out partying. He's obviously doing it in a good way. So, maybe Roethlisberger's just a douche.
Or maybe just by comparison, if the city of Boston's like, hey, look, as long as you're not Aaron Hernandez, the other tight end for the Patriots, and killing people, we're okay if you just go ahead and leave a couple of roofied women on the sofa at a hotel somewhere. We'll go ahead and take care of that. As long as you're not shooting anybody execution style, you're okay with us, buddy.
Yeah. That's so sad that was like the benchmark there.
It really was. Oh, good old Pats fans. They got a lot to worry about right now with the fact that LeGarrette Blount's out and on IR. But we are going completely off track. And let's go ahead and reel this back in. And let's go talk about the next AFC South matchup that wasn't actually with just the AFC South. It was Tennessee traveling to the New York Jets. Oh my gosh. Oof, Ryan
brutal.
Fitzpatrick. Hello. Where is this
Don't
coming
say.
From? Where is it
what
coming
are you
from?
Talking about? Where we just talked about this last week. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a good starting quarterback in the NFL. You hate on him all the time. He's not just serviceable. He is a starting quarterback in the NFL that has started just about everywhere he's been. Even when he starts out as a second string, he eventually becomes the starter for that team because he's good. He commands an offense. He throws a good ball. He hangs in there, and he does a great job. And I don't know why and just what the nerve of you after we just talked about that to go, where has he come from? He's been there the whole time. This guy's been starting in Buffalo and played really well. I believe took them to the playoffs, the same thing. Now he's in New York, and he does good. The guy can play football, and he is a quality starting quarterback in the NFL.
He is. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash on him, but he doesn't have the type of career as well as the pedigree that a lot of these other guys have. I mean, he basically, and I know what you're going to say, well, he did play. He basically didn't play college ball. Playing college ball at Harvard is like playing college ball for a community college or a semi-pro football team. That's not an elite situation for him to come into the NFL with. And he does not have a super strong arm. He's ultimately essentially a Cousins, a journeyman sort of situation.
No, he's way better than Cousins.
Or Brad Johnson or John Kitna. He doesn't have a strong arm. He's accurate, but he doesn't have a strong arm. And without a running game, Fitzpatrick falters always. He doesn't have the ability to pull the team on his back and make plays happen and lead a team to a victory by himself, or put the whole team on his shoulders and carry them into the end zone. He's not that guy. He just doesn't have that kind of skill set. But he plays inside of his own. He's an intelligent man. Coming from Harvard, he'd have to be. And he plays inside of his own ability.
Trent Green.
Yes, good call. Very good. But again, still not a starting quarterback.
Took a team to the Super Bowl.
Who?
Trent Green.
Okay, which team did he take to the Super Bowl?
Oh no, it's not Trent Green. Who am I thinking? I can't believe I did that. It's not Trent Green. Went to the Raiders. Took the Raiders to a Super Bowl.
You're talking about Rich Gannon?
Gannon, there you go. Better analogy.
Gannon was a much better rolling out and mobile quarterback. That was one thing that Fitzpatrick doesn't have. You're right. The skill set as far as the arms, the reads, the being able to put the ball on a dime inside of 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, all those exactly the same. But Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't have the mobility that Gannon have. I just don't see. I mean, and there's a reason that Fitzpatrick moves from one team to the next team to the next team to the next team. It's that he doesn't have all those skill sets, all that talent, all that. Oh my God, he's the man we can build a team around, because he isn't.
You're right. He's not the guy you build a team around. He's a guy that comes in and makes your offense play well, and you need a good defense, and those two combinations get you a winning team. But here's the thing. Think about, short of Tom Brady, think about a team that has gone to the Super Bowl and won it just on the backs of the quarterback alone. Most of the time, it's been defense that wins the big games. So you need defense, and you need a quarterback that can manage the game and not turn the ball over most of the time.
Okay, yeah, a defense and a good quarterback. You're right. That is the key to victory for the last 30 years.
A decent quarterback.
Yeah. I'm not saying unless you want to take a look at the Trent Dilfer experiment in Baltimore, nothing else compares in that relativity. We got, for instance, Brett Favre. He won a championship off of a good defense and being able to do things as a quarterback. He put that whole offense on his shoulders and made that happen. Peyton Manning won one just the same way with the Indianapolis Colts against the Chicago Bears, about 7 years back. And then we had Ben Roethlisberger do it with the Pittsburgh Steelers the year after that against the Arizona Cardinals. It's those kinds of quarterbacks that are ones you could feel like you could do something with. This Ryan Fitzpatrick is nothing more than a placeholder until they find somebody to replace him, and that's why he keeps moving around the league.
I think he's a good. I think with a better defense, the Jets could do really well. They might even still make the playoffs. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. We will see. And with that, it is about time to go to break. Matt, I didn't get a chance to ask you beforehand, but do you have what's needed to read script tonight or not?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, terrific. Then we'll go ahead and go to break. Guys, go ahead and call us on the phone lines. The phone lines are open. It's 405-562-5463. We will be talking Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati after the break. And also, we need your Shock the Jock submissions. We want to know where a great holiday Christmas resort is, somewhere that you would travel and actually enjoy yourself and is worth the trip this time of year. With that, we'll catch you on the other side.
Finally, can we take a moment and stop listening to these idiots long enough to get the Cars for Kids jungle back in my head?
Kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Hey guys, this is Matt with Matt and Nash NFL Late Night Talk. I wanted to chat with you for a second about something. We're in the holiday season right now, and one thing I like to do during the holiday season, or one thing I know is going to happen, is my wife is going to be snuggling and coming up to me and kissing me. We're going to be at different holiday parties. We're going to be close a lot of the time. The last thing I want to do during that time is blow it by not smelling good or by being rough and disgusting on my neck. So you know what I do? This year, I found Robin Denio. She is a skincare consultant with the doctors that created Proactiv, and she helped me get a new shaving regimen going. This season, I'm even more kissable. I have nice skin under my neck. I'm clean shaven. I don't have red bumps, and it looks perfect. So if you need a gift for anybody else that you know that deals with this, or if you just want to treat yourself to your own Christmas gift this holiday season, go ahead and get a hold of Robin. You can get your own aftershave regimen and your own shaving cream going that smells good and that takes care of your skin too. All you have to do is email her at robin.reifler, R-E-I-F-L-E-R, @gmail.com, or jump over to jockjournal.com and click on her ad there.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
Well, it's the holiday season, and some people do things just strictly out of convenience. Like today, I saw some people actually buying their groceries at a convenience store. So the question is why are anglers buying fishing shirts sold at a hunting apparel companies? You know, Ocean Vita is a true fishing apparel company focused on the coastal lifestyle. The clothing is designed specifically to handle the elements that anglers deal with on their fishing trips, such as staying dry, cool, and protected from the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays. Ocean Vita uses proven water-resistant technology, moisture-wicking fabrics, strategic air ventilation, and a high ultraviolet protection factor. All these designs and color choices are reflective of the bright and relaxed coastal lifestyle. Order your Ocean Vita apparel today and use the Jock Journal 20% off coupon, FishJock. That's right, FishJock, with no spaces, just one word, FishJock. Order online today at OceanVita.com. Vita is V-I-D-A. That's OceanVita.com. And get your 20% off before this sale ends. Stay dry and cool when you're reeling in your next big fish.
You are listening to Jock Journal Radio. News, opinion, and discussion for all you jock stars.
Support for this show comes from Material. Material is a simple and intuitive e-commerce platform that lets you get your online store started without paying a dime. That's right. No ads, no setup costs, no transaction fees. Experience a fresh and easy new way to sell online by signing up at material.com today.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
Okay, Jock Stars, we're back, and we have a couple of submissions for Shock the Jock. One person said, why don't you just go down to the Riverwalk? where it's warm and you enjoy all the restaurants. Well, for you, Texter, let me go ahead and tell you. I've been to the Riverwalk, and all it is a sewer these days. It literally stinks. People have polluted the thing, and it smells like poo. Not the type of place I want to go and enjoy my Christmas vacation. The second place that was asked was, why don't you just go ahead and go down to SeaWorld or LA and enjoy Disneyland? And my response to that is, if I want to do that, I'm going to do that at a different time, not Christmas. Christmas doesn't feel like the type of place where you want to go see Disney. At least to me, that's my take on it. Matt, are you in agreement?
Yeah, of course. The Riverwalk is the worst idea ever.
It really was.
That's a terrible idea. And I'd hope my family would look at me in total disappointment if I took them to the Riverwalk.
Oh, my dad took me there almost like, 25 years ago. Yeah, it was about 25 years ago. It wasn't bad then, but I went through advanced individual training there about 4 or 5 years later. It still wasn't bad then, but then I went through there about, 10 years ago, and I damn near gagged. The place stinks, and it's full of crime. It's dirty.
Here's the thing, the Riverwalk, it's pretty and it's kind of cool if I want to take my wife somewhere on a Saturday night, like we have a date night and I want to drive somewhere, or if I for some reason have to be in San Antonio, I can go to dinner on the Riverwalk. That's about it. That's not a destination place. It's not like, where are we going? The Riverwalk, that has no ring to it. It doesn't sound like something they would be excited about, especially with kids, because, I mean, it's just walking around and shot. There's nothing they can do. So, yeah, I wouldn't do that. It's Disneyland, terrible. There's lots that they can do, but I'm not about – that just sounds like a very, very stressful, expensive, long, tiring thing, especially with young kids. It's like it'd be cool for a minute. But at the end of the day, I just am sore. I know someone who goes there, you know, probably once a year, and they're so excited about it, and they're way too old to even be doing it anyway by themselves still. But it's just not something that I'm into. I've been once, and not so much.
Absolutely.
Disney cruise. Now, a Disney cruise I could get behind.
Oh, yeah. People just bringing you drinks all day long and sitting on a boat somewhere in the nice tropical areas. Maybe
kids swimming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really big on going somewhere. That's why I did this. I wanted to go somewhere where then I could stay and not have to leave that place. Like, I didn't want to have to go anywhere else, right? I want to go somewhere with a nice room. They have, like, an amusement park here. They have a full water park. I don't have to go. Literally, my hotel is connected to all that, so I don't have to go outside if I don't want to, and that was my goal.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think that these concepts that people have for vacations are sometimes just too aggressive. All these people who like the thought of, like, going for camping for vacation – cool, great. Now you get to sleep on a not comfortable location, maybe a cot if you're lucky, and you get to basically not bathe, acceptably. If you're going to camp, cabin, sure, great. Or if you want to rough it and backpack, okay, that's fine. But don't call that a vacation. Call that a challenge, because that's what it is. When it comes wintertime, Christmas in the Bahamas sounds pretty nice to me. That sounds like the type of Christmas I can wrap my mind around. I'll even go put some Christmas lights on a palm tree if I have to.
I like it cold during Christmas, and that's one of the reasons we're actually here. The main reason is they have a ski hill near here. My wife's family lives here, and my kids have never been in the snow. We live in Texas, so I really wanted us to go and have a white Christmas. It opens on Friday. We're going to get to go and tubing, and the snow is on the hill. And so that's – I like a white Christmas. I like it to snow, and I want it to be cold and be inside cozy. So that's kind of was the main goal of this.
Well – everybody in Ohio right now is asking for their Christmas gift to be a healthy return of Andy Dalton, as the Pittsburgh Steelers went into Sancy to play them. And boy, I was really thinking this was going to be a tight game, but then Pittsburgh knocked out Tyler Eifert, knocked out Andy Dalton, and really dominated the whole show there.
Divisional rivals.
Is this the end of this strong Bengal bandwagon hurrah that we've been behind, because it's starting to look like it's falling apart to me.
No way. It's not the end of it. They are good because that defense is really good. That's why they didn't look like it in this game, but they have a good, tough defense.
They do. Burfucht. I'm still trying to wrap my head. I've been reading a couple articles. What the heck happened with the threats? Does anybody kind of understand what's going on with the well, this person threatened me. There's not going to be any league discipline about it. What Burfucht ran over Roethlisberger's knee. What's going on? Okay, we get it. These teams hate each other. Good. Great. We need another rivalry in the NFL that we can get behind. But what all is going on? I don't understand the problem here.
Cincinnati's ghetto. I don't know what problem you're looking for. Yeah, they're division rivals that hate each other. And Cincinnati's super ghetto. Of course they probably said some stuff. I don't think that's anything that should have come out of there, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's like things are probably said on the field, and I don't think they should have gone any further than that.
Probably not. The Cincinnati Bengals are in a bad spot, and A.J. McCarron looked okay enough, but not good enough to win a game. A.J. McCarron really does have a crap ton of confidence in himself, so I'll give the guy a high five for that, as he's actually comparing himself to Tom Brady and said, yeah, well, Tom Brady was in a very similar situation when he came about. As he was, you know, relieved of Drew Bledsoe for that team and came in late in the season to lead them to a Super Bowl. And if I were Andy Dalton, regardless if my thumb was broken, I'd go punch that dude in the face. I'd be like, dude,
that's a douche thing to say.
I know. What is wrong with this guy?
Obvious. Oh. And he's been in the league much longer than Tom Brady had, if I'm correct. A.J. McCarron's been around for quite a while.
I think it's his second or third year. I'll look it up right now just to find out.
To come in and even say that, it's like, get your opportunity and be a little humble with the opportunity. Come in and try and win games. I think this team is in trouble. I think it's not just because of that quarterback situation, but when you let a division, I think this is a gut punch. This is a hard loss for them. When you let a division rival come in and beat you up the way they did, and you lose by 13 at home, that's hard. That's tough. I mean, that doesn't give you any momentum going into the playoffs. The other thing I think that, you know, look, I am still not sold on the Steelers being this superhuman team. Everyone is. This is still a team that's 8-5, that's lost a lot of games, that's lost some, you know, 5 games this year, and also has had times where this defense seems really good, but at times where they get blown out, right? This is not an elite defense that they have. Yeah, they're playing and they're hitting now, but they've been blown out in some games and beat up pretty badly. So I don't think this team is as good as – I think they're playing good games and having some good weeks, but I don't think they're putting it together every single week.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And just so you know, A.J. McCarron is actually in his second year. His first year was last year, but he was injured during most of it and didn't actually even get onto the field at any point. This year is his first in this game. This yesterday's situation was essentially his first real, you know, pass attempts that were worth anything. You know, there are a couple in week 12, one attempt in week 12, three attempts in week 13, and now he's putting up 32 attempts and threw for 280 yards. Like I said, serviceable, but I'm just not sure that, you know, I don't think he's what they need to go the next level by any means. No. They need to go.
I don't think Andy Dalton is either, but
no, he isn't. That whole team just doesn't have the type of leadership or the type of team that's going to be necessary to go too far in the playoffs, at least at this point. The next game on the agenda is Oakland versus Denver. Let's go ahead and dissect the slowest, most uneventful game in the NFL last week. Oakland traveled to Denver and was able to win by 15-12. This looked like the battle of field goals. However, yes, it wasn't entirely that, but it definitely had that feel to it. this game was made Brock Osweiler look very, very vulnerable. And now people are beginning to discuss the possibility of Peyton Manning even possibly coming back this week.
The Broncos are in trouble. We knew this would happen eventually. And didn't, I mean, Khalil Mack had a huge game. This was kind of a coming out party for Khalil Mack. But this Oakland defense is a good defense. They can play really well, and they don't forget. They have Justin Tuck on that team, Alden Smith, Khalil Mack. I mean, they have some decent players on the defensive side of the ball. They really do. And when they put it together, they can be a formidable team. But I think this is more of an indictment on Denver. At some point, you knew.
We got a caller. Just a second. Okay. Caller, go ahead. From the 860. Where's that from?
So I'm actually living in Henderson, Nevada. This is Peter. I'm calling in about the Patriots. I'm going to talk on it tonight.
Okay, terrific. I'm going to put you on a long hold, if you don't mind. And if you could just go ahead and mute your mic when we get to the Patriots-Texans, I'd like to talk with you. So just hang tight, okay?
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
So, and you're right. The Oakland Raiders are developing and are building every step of the way to turn themselves into the next formidable AFC West opponent. Well, we got teams like the San Diego Chargers falling apart. We have Denver wondering what they're going to be doing at quarterback. And we have the Oakland Raiders sitting right there. And the Kansas City Chiefs with their ultimate extreme streakiness of like win 7, lose 4. You have the Oakland Raiders looking like they could be contenders for a long period of time. And they finally look like they could be building because they're young. Well, they're young and they're old. They got all these like 38-year-old Darren Woodsons and Charles Woodson. I mean, they got these old guys, but they're eventually going to be replacing them with fresh young talent. And boy, they're going to be formidable for many, many years to come.
But your real worry here, like I said, is Denver. At some point, you knew that they were going to come down off of. When a quarterback comes in to take over for someone and you have an excellent defense, it's not hard to look decent and to win a couple games. But at some point, you're going to get put in a position where the quarterback's got to win the game, and that's where you see the glaring defect of the Broncos. He's not – when the offense has to win the game for him, when the defense isn't doing it, can they win the game? And, I mean, obviously it doesn't look like that's going to be able to happen. I don't think it would happen with Peyton Manning. I think he's done for the rest of the year, and even if he comes back in, it's going to be an embarrassment. So I think it's sad for the Broncos. I mean, it's sad if you're a Broncos fan. If you're not, then screw you, Broncos, because I've had so many seasons of watching them be good and watching them dump money into that team and a win-now mentality. Here's the problem with that. If you don't win now, you're screwed.
Yeah. At this point – with the salary cap and the way things are situated with John Elway's situation in that office, it's ultimately going to fall apart. And I think that that gives me a great segue, because the Patriots, I honestly feel, are kind of like in a similar thing as Tom Brady's timetable is beginning to tick. And we'll go ahead and transition to the Patriots-Texans, and we'll skip the Green Bay Packers and Cowboys, come back to that afterwards. Caller, thank you so much for calling us. Go ahead and tell us what you saw about the Patriots and Texans, and tell us, is there life without LeGarrette Blount?
All right, so what I watched the game in its entirety, as I do all their games, and what really jumped out from the screen to me was their defense. Brian Hoyer was 11 of 22 for 155 yards, and he was getting harassed. The offensive line wasn't great at points, but the Patriots' defensive line really blew him up. He got sacked, I believe it was 6 times on the night. Ended up getting knocked out with a concussion. I hope he's going to be okay, because those aren't any good. The Patriots' acquisition from New Orleans had 2 forced fumbles and 2 sacks, so he really stepped it up. The defensive line did a great job. And then offensively, Rob Gronkowski was huge in the game. In fact, he was the leading receiver for the Patriots, 87 yards on 4 grabs and a touchdown. It was good to see him back, and I think having him back helped the Patriots in the long run. because without a guy like him who can take attention away from perhaps other players like Amendola, Brandon LaFell, and Martin, and those players of that caliber who aren't on Gronkowski's level helps the offense open up a lot more. That being said, I look at LeGarrette Blount. Life without him is going to be a little tough for the Patriots. And the reason I say that is because he's a leading rusher right now. He has a 703 yards on 165 attempts, averaging just 4.3 yards a carry and 6 touchdowns. When you take away that productivity from a run game, it definitely hurts. I'm not sure how much it's going to end up hurting them in the end, but I think it's going to hurt them a little bit because he's a bruising back. He can pound you. He can tire defenses out. So that's going to sting a little bit. But luckily, they brought Monte Ball in, which I think he'll be okay. He's not going to be great, but he'll be okay, I think. He had a pretty decent year last year in Denver. I think he'll be all right. And then you look at Brandon Bolden. He's another kind of bruising-type running back, but his only average is 3.1 yards per carry, and that's a little bit alarming in my opinion. And then the second leading rusher behind Blount is actually still out, is Deion Lewis. He's been out for quite some time now, so the Patriots need to figure out this running back situation. Maybe James White, they can get him involved more in the running game, although he's more of a pass-catching back. So there's concern with LeGarrette Blount being out. I'm just curious to see how Monte Ball will do in the offense or how the rest of these guys will step up. But
yeah.
Overall, the last night's game was a really good game to watch. Sunday night's game, not last night. Sunday night's game was great to watch, and the defense really stepped it up. So the defense can continue to harass other players, other opposing quarterbacks, and stuff the running game at the line of scrimmage. They'll be okay. But as far as the run game goes, there's definitely a cause for concern with LeGarrette Blount being out.
You know, and you said three things here, and I'll go ahead and bring those out. LeGarrette Blount is in James White, okay? James White did actually score a touchdown, though I don't think anybody thought that he was actually going to get the ball at that close to the end zone because he's usually in on passing downs. But we also saw. You're right, the defensive line of the Patriots totally harassed the crud out of the Texans, but what are we going to have now? What are we going to have now that we got Patriots defensive linemen falling out of windows after smoking synthetic marijuana? Is this a case of too much party time? Too much of a good thing going on in New England?
No, I think it's more of just idiocy. You know, and it's funny you mention that because there's a lot of dumb things like this that happen in the NFL constantly. It's almost ridiculous that these players do these sorts of things. I think what Bill Belichick needs to do is he needs to look at his players and say, listen, you continue to do stupid stuff like this, you're going to be out. Because I don't think it's more too much of a good thing happening in New England. It's just some of these younger players are just not in the mindset of how to be a professional, and they're trying to smoke synthetic marijuana possibly to try to avoid the drug testing in the NFL, which is, listen, if you're playing professional football, just don't do drugs. It's plain and simple.
No, I hear you. So, Matt, do you have a question? And while you're coming up with that question, Matt, tell everybody where they can find you online, sir. Caller.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Find me online at jockjournal.com. I'm a Patriots team writer. I also write for the AFC East. And then on top of that, I also help host a radio show. It's called the Free Parking Show with Richard Powell, Amos, and Ryan Moreland. So you can find me on that. And then on Twitter, I'm at PeterSports88, and that's my Twitter handle.
And guys, Peter is going to be having a daytime show that's going to be, I'm sorry, a show that's right before this show at the hour earlier, and it'll be starting on Monday. So welcome to the team, Peter. Matt, do you have any questions for Peter?
Again, welcome to the show, Peter. Welcome to the team. We're excited to have you. Let me ask you, how many seasons do you think Brady can be competitive still? How many seasons do you got? 2 seasons? Because you know, if you're relying on Garoppolo, you're out of your mind. So how many seasons do we have to deal with the Patriots being competitive?
All right, so after this year, I give them 2 more years. And the reason I say that is because the Patriots' passing attack relies on a lot of short to medium range passes with a quick release by Tom Brady. So given that, I think he's not going to be throwing the deep ball that much. And if you get to the ball out quick, you won't be touched as much as maybe some of other quarterbacks who step back in the pocket and want to throw the deep ball. So I'd say after this season, I give him the 2016 and 2017 seasons. He'll still be really competitive. And then in 2018, I think he's won great right before that.
Perfect.
Between 17 and 18, he'll end up retiring.
Yeah, so you're saying he'll finish out this contract, but we probably won't see him for another one.
No, I don't think he'll see him. One, I need to play another 10 years or that would be set, but I don't see him being able to do that. Just because we've seen what happened to Peyton Manning, obviously, I mean, injuries have hurt him. But I think Tom Brady's the kind of player, in my opinion, if he knows that father time is catching up to him, that he'll retire and leave on a high horse instead of just dragging it out like Brett Favre did last year in Minnesota, where he just completely fell to shambles and then was on the IR and finished his career in kind of an embarrassing fashion.
Perfect. Terrific call. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And everybody, this is the type of quality radio that Jock Journal is now presenting, and you can find him on Jock Journal Radio just 1 hour before Nash and Matt. So thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a great holiday season.
Thanks, you guys, too. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Matt, we got the Cowboys and the Packers. One more game to quickly talk about. We got about 4 minutes. Let's go ahead and do it.
This is an easy one to talk about.
Yeah, Packers dominant.
The Cowboys. Yeah, of course. Eddie Lacy, here it is. Thank you for trading me Eddie Lacy. I knew eventually he would come back. He's reignited. God, did you see him running like the old Lacy, just breaking tackles and making spinning and making people miss. It was pretty to watch.
Yeah, and I don't regret it because I'm out of that league. I couldn't stand it. But, you know, Eddie Lacy actually did me well on FanDuel. I really shouldn't be saying it. Nobody's listening, so it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I was able to win $230-some-odd off of Eddie Lacy's nice running at late in that Sunday afternoon.
There you go.
I was sending you those texts of my screenshots as they were coming along. So, yeah, I had faith in him given that particular matchup, and I thought that it was going to work out well. And the Packers did prevail at home, and if they would have lost that game, I would have put a fork in the Green Bay Packers season at that point, even though they would still be playoff eligible. I don't think if you're losing games to the Cowboys in Lambeau this late in the season that you even have a hope of possibly being in the
Super Bowl. I'm telling you what, listen to me. If Eddie Lacy runs like that, that whole Packers offense clicks right behind him. That running game is why that team was dangerous and still is so dangerous. If you can get a running game established like that with Lacy when he's running hard, it makes everything else. It means you have to put people up at the line to stop him. He's not small. He's not going to go down. And that means you can't afford to double those receivers, and you're going to give Aaron Rodgers some open looks. That is what they were missing in the games that they were losing. So I think you see a reinvigorated Charger or Green Bay Packers team come out, and I think they charge right into the playoffs to win that division.
I think that they are going to win the division. I think that pretty much the divisions are how they are, except for the NFC East, which is a relative crapshoot as who's going to end up being the NFC East representative. I think that the Vikings will probably stay the number 6 seed, and I think the Seattle Seahawks will probably stay the number 5 seed, and that's essentially all set and done. It's whoever's going to win the NFC least, which is what I'm calling them at this point, because the least relevant is the only place inside the playoff for the NFC that's even really up for grabs at this point.
So
we have about a minute left. We don't have enough time to really get into the Giants and Dolphins, so we will cover the Giants Dolphins game with the news coming out tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night we are also going to be discussing fantasy football matchups, and we will be talking about Thursday night football and what is going on with the matchup for week 15 of Thursday night football. But we will also be going over some of the things that are happening with this injury bug. We have a specialist. I believe we're going to be able to get him on the show tomorrow. It's not 100% at this point, so don't quote me on it. But a specialist who deals in sports injuries, going to deals with regular NFL players on a regular basis, possibly on the show. So that could be an interesting discussion, because he believes, from what I've talked to him about, that it's this new field turf that's made of ground up, tires and stuff like that, that's causing these ACLs and everything, which we've all seen a big and drastic, jump in that. So with that, we all bid you a happy holiday season. We will not be on Christmas Eve and on Christmas, but we will finish out this week, and we wish you all the best. And with that, I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk. Have a happy holiday.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jack Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.